It used to be that children played with the simplest of things, not the techno-gadgets that seem to be embedded in our eyes. Delmarva Public Radio essayist George Merrill observes how children can stir up their imagination with the ordinary things of life.
When they were small, our grandchildren would come and stay with us. We'd set up a craft table in the living room. My wife, Jo, laid all kinds of craft materials out on a table for the children to make things. There were old egg cartons, plastic cups, pipe cleaners, various colored craft papers, scissors, a glue gum, scotch tape, watercolors, styrofoam crayons, yarn, fishing line, and old shirt cardboards. It was open season. When the children arrived, they'd race to the table and dive into the material like fish in a feeding frenzy. The children chattered as they created houses, animals, bracelets, medallions, paper boats, portraits of mom and dad, jewelry, lighthouses, beds for dolls, castles for princesses, and the like. And of course, they'd shout out, "Hey, Grandma, Joe, hey, Peepaw, look at this." The energy was palpable. Possibilities were endless. And as they created their projects, they tell us just what they were aspiring to do bit by bit. It was an X-ray into the workings of a mind inspired, and how thoughts and ideas, visions, build one upon another. All things were suddenly possible. Common stuff, gathered from a hodgepodge of craft store trivia and household throwaways, the children transformed and made all things new and amazing, in the way birds build nests from whatever odds and ends they can find. God had only darkness, the deep, and the waters that hovered above the deep to work with, and look what he made from that. Nothing less than a universe. This is the power of imagination. God speaks to each of us in a still small voice of imagination. Not everyone gives imagination much thought. If we allow its expression, it frees us to dwell in possibilities. We often know least about that which is closest to us. Scientists know far more about the composition of the sun than they do about the center of the earth right under our feet. Our imagination is right there deep within us. It's the window of our souls. It's only your imagination, all in your mind. We've heard that one. And so we learn to dismiss with a shrug the potentially deep truths that were just on the eve of entering our awareness. Instead, we dismiss the productions of the mind's eye straight away because, well, they seem foolish. Artist Pat B. Allen claims our imagination is no mere blank slate on which we simply inscribe our will. Rather, imagination is the deepest voice of the soul and can be heard only through cultivation and careful attention. As a boy, Einstein wished that one day he would ride a light beam. And we all know where that went. He defined a universe. He said, "Knowledge is limited, while imagination embraces the whole world and all there ever will be to understand. To put it another way, in the imagination, all things are possible." Our present administration recently proposed cutting funding for the National Endowment for the Arts, the National Endowment for the Humanities, the Institute of Museum and Library Sciences, and National Public Radio. I think that's a failure of imagination. George Merrill on the Shore.